Hello, and welcome to Story Radio, the podcast for readers, writers, and lovers of literature everywhere. Today, we're going to be listening to Funny Billies, written by Daniel Jeffries. This is a story that's great for Halloween, and I think you're going to love it. Martin, what did you think about the story?
I think the thing that struck me and is something we kind of quite often would get is the title, which kind of draws you in because it's kind of an interesting title. It's kind of it kind of intrigues you. But quite often a story doesn't deliver after the title, and also something you've got to be careful of is being too repetitive with a kind of an unusual word like that. And but this, I thought, really did deliver that it wasn't repeated too much, and it was actually kind of key to the story, which I think is also kind of important. Otherwise, you feel a bit cheated. Yeah, I'm wary of kind of giving too much away about the story because I think it would spoil it for people. But that was my initial thoughts.
Yes, the writer told me that it was inspired by his daughter, apparently saw these creatures, the Funny Billies, and that kind of inspired the story. And I thought that was a lovely touch because the writer used that and wove that into his fictional story. I also thought the setting was lovely. I do find these sort of settings by the sea, very kind of liminal and compelling. Did you find that, Martin?
No, I also found it quite touching, the whole all the relationships he explores in it. And I thought it worked very effectively, and it was a great recording as well.
Yes, by Nigel Fyfe, who's been reading for us for several years now. Thank you so much, Nigel. It's a beautiful reading. Yes, a wonderful story for Halloween about kind of liminal places, crossing over, places where the veil gets thin. Well, I think we should listen to the story now, and I hope you enjoy it. This is Funny Billies by Daniel Jeffries.
Mum was walking on the marsh again. Mrs. Herbert, the Saltings, spotted her in a cardigan and slippers during one of the first frosts, staring over the kissing gate towards the sluice. The farmer drove her back. She kept saying, "Can you just plug me in?" nodding at the seatbelt. She was getting forgetful, but refused help. On the Wednesday, I took the day off and drove up. "I want you to make sure the letter of complaint is sent first thing." We sat in Mum's kitchen among a bundle of unpaid bills. The table was strewn with her plant cuttings. In another age, she would have been burned as a witch. She was filled with the salt marsh. The tenacity and sudden intensity of the sea lavender appearing between tides swelled up inside her into a crimson flush. "It's a complete racket. The house insurance has gone up 60 quid. They don't make it easy, but finally I got the address of the omnibus man." "Ombudsman," I corrected. "That's what I said, smart ass." In the past, I saved up these verbal entanglements to amuse my girlfriend. But now it felt more treacherous. The doctor's letter lay on the table, spattered with marmalade. I glanced at it. "No obvious neurological damage, but some lesions and a little patch of white matter. Wear and tear." Marcia was in good condition for 75. Daily 5 mile walk, cold water swimming, and lots of kale and cashew nuts. "I'm staying here, Tom. I don't care what Dr. Biswas says. They want this house for the new development." Her face was sharp, the unwavering glare of one of the local gulls watching you sideways as you scoffed your chips in the bus shelter. "I don't want him fiddling with me, and all this bloody mumbo-jumbo. It's called getting old." We finished our coffees, Mum using her finger to catch the froth around the rim. "Let's stretch our legs, Tom. Have a Miranda while the sun's out." The verbal missteps opened up more meaningful avenues than our usual exchanges about friends with cancer or her feigned interest in my boring work. I admired her. She was stripping things down, fewer and fewer possessions, bleak sea views, mornings on the sea wall. We walked out past the caravan park where the Colne lay still and milky. She was as much part of this place as the turnstones scrabbling over the rocks. "They'll be coming for me soon, just like Don." "Who's coming?" I said. "The Funny Billies." The name briefly resonated. Don was an old boyfriend and neighbour. He whittled away at wooden figurines, almost to the point of nothingness. Figurines salvaged from the rotten groins, dreadlocked with seaweed, sticking out of the mud. They were dancing and capering around his bedroom. From the moonlit road, Mum thought he was having a party. She mentioned how, after hearing of his last illness, she was on tenderhooks all night. That was exactly right. Tenderhooks is how we connect. How me and Mum still connected through these tender and loving barbs that got caught under the skin and tear the living tissue. Tenderhooks just about sums up our relationship. "There's one up ahead," and she nodded her head in greeting. The road now was rocky, crisscrossed with rivulets as we approached the ford where we liked to sit and eat our sandwiches, looking out at the remains of the old railway bridge, a tangled downward spiral that once connected our town. "Another sheep?"
"No, another one of those funny billies.
I don't know where they all come from. They seem to like the quarry where you used to smoke pot with your sister." The funny billies were a new sort of entanglement. They hinted at something ghostly. Funny, peculiar things that Mum sometimes saw on the lawn or gathering in the fields. Don had started her off when he warned her to lock her doors shortly before his fall.
"The tame as anything, but very wild in appearance. Like they've been asleep all winter on the marsh. Wildflowers and brambles tucked into pockets and old velvet buttonholes. They like to come in from the cold. That's why you need to lock up. Left a dreadful mess in my studio. Blackberries all stamped into the carpet."
She reminded me when I was a little boy, just after Dad left, lying on my tummy on the pine floorboards of my bedroom drawing in my book, that it was me who came up with the word.
"Funny billies, that's your phrase.
It's always stuck. I kept the drawings of them all in their finery, dancing and capering in the dusk. Don't you remember?" My bedroom looked over gardens and school playing fields. Beyond was the sea wall and estuary. Figures silhouetted against the sea and sky moved along the sea wall. The funny, shadowy effect flattened them out, elongating arms and legs. I saw plenty of strange things from the window. Not only figures, but boats that floated in the air. One with peculiar towers and minarets like the skyline of a fantastic city. The air was so refined that it let things through. We sat on the waterproof blanket by the inlet, with the island saturated with muted browns and greens. Beyond the thick sludge, waders dabbled. I poured out coffee from the thermos, passed a cup to Mum, and a thick homemade cookie stuffed with pecans and walnuts. "Funny billies," I said. The word trailed in its wake the residue of a bad dream.
"Of course you remember."
She sipped her coffee. "Put the fear of God in me the first time. You said there was one in Dad's old study, before I got rid of every trace of him, the bastard. A funny billy with orange hair, hunched up in Dad's swivel chair, the one we were all forbidden from sitting in. Sitting there sort of stupidly, staring at Dad's typewriter, poking at it with a stick. Bits of bramble were tucked around the photos of the printing works. I thought we had a burglar. In hindsight, I reckon he had been decorating. If Dad had still been around, you would have caught it. He would have knocked you into next Wednesday. I wish you'd greet them as well," she said. "Don told me they liked to be acknowledged." She had me properly wound up. But when I stared into the mist, there was only an old red trainer and a plastic bag snagged on the barbed wire. "Like me, they improve with age. When you're ready to go, they start showing up,
near mist and water. They're very particular about who they appear to. In the kitchen, I unpacked groceries and filled the freezer with vindaloos and fruit pies. Mum was staring out the kitchen window at her shingle garden. Ever so bold they are, Tom. They have lost their way. Where do they want to get to? I asked. That's just it. They get stuck out here between sea and sky. Better here than trapped in a care home. We have forgotten we're meant to be someplace else. So we turn up the telly. We can't switch it off. It seems so simple getting from A to B. I come into a room and I don't know what I came in for. I let my feet carry me wherever. See, they're laughing now. I drove home past the golf links and the caravan park. I missed the turnoff at Elmstead, but it didn't matter. When you don't know what the point of it all is, one roundabout is as good as another. The next week in the printing works, I phoned Dr. Biswas and left a message. I was checking the proofs of the new wildlife calendars. I stopped at a photo that looked like Mum's garden. The golden shingle fenced off with ropes, a rotted old boat planted up with lavender. In the corner where the tamarisk thinned, there was a wraith-like face, peering through the feathery pink tufts. The gap-toothed smile lingered in the air, savouring my discomfort, before disappearing into the tamarisk. The copyright was registered to Don Parry. The next morning, I got the call I was dreading. I can't say it was unexpected. Mum was out on the marsh. She had been spotted in the caravan park and further along at the kiosk where the beach huts ended, the place they call Millionaire's Row. The huts look out at the point where the estuary opens up into the North Sea. The waves were slopping over the promenade, turning and smacking down heavily with the slap of sumo wrestlers. The piled chunks of the breakwater looked sharp and forbidding. When we found her, she was frozen, a light frosting of snow on her dressing gown. The weird thing was her pockets were stuffed with wild flowers, fresh summer pickings in January. Her long white hair, blowing loosely around her bare shoulders, was dotted with Californian poppies, uncrumpling in the winter sun. I never knew her to wear lipstick, I said to the woman from the kiosk.
That's not lipstick. Look at her stained fingers.
One of Mum's hands was partly balled up into a fist. Squatting down, I could see through the opening. Green leaves, brambles, and dark, squishy fruit. Curled up there, she looked more like a fox than my mum. A wild thing, gone to ground.
That was Funny Billies, written by Daniel Jeffries and read by Nigel Fife. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a month. Goodbye.